guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was, it was a tough year, Murray. I mean, they did it. You know, there was some, I'm not being sarcastic. You know, they had the manager, John, who they hated. They had the thing with Dustin Pedroia and Manny Machado in Baltimore. They didn't react well to that. And, of course, you had David Price and the Eckersley thing. And the media pressure built, and they all hated their manager, and the media hated them. And so no one had any fun. Even though it didn't prevent them from winning 93 games and the division again, it was just a drag on the team.
Those are minor annoyances. Still, this narrative bugs the hell out of me. A real issue is when manager John gets a cancer diagnosis towards the end of the season a few years ago. That's a real issue that can, kind of hurt a clubhouse. That's all they're thinking about. That's a real problem. What was a real problem last year? Oh, the media was a little annoying. Oh, we were bothering because we kept asking about Eck. Oh, it was a bad look because one guy looked like he'd rather be a Baltimore Oriole during the middle of a game. Oh, we're wrong to bring that up and keep bothering you and media guys doing their job asking you after the game. And then you Pedroia, saying, can I go now? Oh, this is so hard. Oh, it wasn't fun. I'm sorry it wasn't enough fun for you guys. Go have more fun this year because mean old manager John's gone now. Ooh, this team. Ugh. Go on. Sorry.
Well,
it just bugs me.
So, right. You heard Alex Cora in his first availability with the media talking about, I don't know what style I'm going to have or what, but having fun is important. And then Betts and Bogarts spoke and talked about how there was a lack of fun last year and you got to be lighter and you got to, have more fun. And then I get my Herald delivered at my doorstep today. I get my little baby dinosaur, the newspaper. And here on the front page.
Oh, boy.
This is not being sarcastic.
Oh, man.
Happy days. This is the entire front page. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, this is the front page of the newspaper. Happy days. And it's a picture of them goofing around, I guess, on pitcher day.
Oh.
And you have, is that Christian Vasquez giving the rabbit ears behind who?
Is it J.D. Martinez?
No,
he
J.D.
wasn't
Martinez
here yet.
Oh, that might be Workman, maybe?
Whoever. So here's Christian Vasquez,
Barnes,
the catcher,
Marrero,
making the, like, a rabbit ear sign when...
Yeah, like the hook 'em horns or whatever.
When some, whoever that player is...
Devin Marrero
isn't looking. Who's that? You've got... Is that Greg Kimbrel up in the upper left-hand corner?
Yeah, that's Kimbrel holding the, what's that, a Lester face?
So apparently, no, they had oversized face pictures of themselves.
Oh.
So they started playing with these oversized face pictures. I don't even know what the hell they are.
Like the Wallach head.
Yes, like the Wallach head.
Yeah, the fat heads, I think. Are
fat heads. And then inside, when you look...
Oh, I got one, too.
Who's that guy in the upper right-hand corner? Is that Brock Holt?
It's Benintendi with
his hair. I thought it was Benintendi, yeah.
No, it's not. It's like a special wiggy thing. Like, they have a special wig thing that they were playing with.
Oh.
Okay, that's a special wig thing that they were having fun with. You also have Kimbrel holding his bobblehead. You have David Price holding his fat head of himself. And they're all just yucking it up, having a good time. We're having a lot of fun.
Oh, God. So, I hadn't seen this until this morning. It just bothers me. It does. Like, they're more focused on just being party boys, apparently, than going out there and focusing on actually winning, is what it reads like to me. Who
well,
knows?
You know,
they end up having...
It's not party boys. It's just, we're having fun.
Okay, but when you see it like this, don't you think it's a campaign?
Yes, absolutely. This is team pitcher day. So instead of them just lining up and sitting on the bleachers and taking a pitcher, it's, let's mount all these props and let's play with wigs and bobbleheads and fat heads, and let's clown around, and we're gonna, it's like Chevy Chase in Vacation. You're gonna sing zippity doo dah up your yin yang. We're gonna force fun down your throats, is what it feels like.
We're gonna have fun, damn it.
Well,
that's
it reeks,
what we're gonna do.
It reeks of PR spin, because even though they were so successful last year, this team is still looked at as a bunch of oversensitive babies, which I still think that they are, but we're going to put this mask on it and make it look like something that it's not. This reeks of, like, Tom Werner and upper management, like, come on, guys, we got to make it really look fun this year because we want to have fun. It's going to be about fun. Yay!
So wait till we see all these pictures like this. So if this is a pitcher day, they're taking pictures for something. Like, and teams are doing stuff, like, you see the Celtics, right? Like, you see the Celtics broadcast, and they'll be talking about Al Horford, and then they'll cut to, like, stuff of Al Horford dribbling between his legs, or, doing, like, because on pitcher day, they're doing all this for cocktail stuff, and they're just putting it in the can for the broadcasts and for whatever. You're going to see this this clowning around when they do, like, when they show a stat page of Chris Sale. You're going to cut to Chris Sale playing with his bobblehead on pitcher day. Like, get ready for this.
Oh, this is a campaign. That's what this is. And that's what I mean, Murray. This is an organizational decision. Because they know it. They deep down, they know. They weren't popular. They weren't likable. This is what John Henry and Tom Werner were being asked about down there. And Henry says, we're not interested in being popular. We want to win. And the reality is, no, they are interested in being popular. Because they can't sell what they had last year. There was no buzz about this team all winter. And not just because they didn't win in the playoffs, because they didn't have any personalities. They didn't have anybody that you could look at and say, these guys are miserable. Like, you know, they didn't have anyone you could look at and really embrace. This is a campaign. That's what this is.
Happy days. Happy days, Murray.
Put on that wig. Oh, that's so funny.
He looks like the Grinch. Like with that stupid little ponytail coming up the top of his head. This is a campaign. They want to endear themselves to their fan base again. And you know what? Now that I think of it, maybe they're the ones who talk to Price. This ties directly into the Price thing. Goofing around with the media, you know, joking about the Yankees. Yeah, we hate the Yankees. Like, you know, play along. Last. Go along with it.
Like, like you said earlier, Maz, it won't last.
Of course it won't.
If they go on a skid.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Appropriately enough, it's like the team has jumped the shark, which came from that show.
Murray, does this make you hate them more?
Yeah, it does. You know, like, going into 2012, I knew... Right, with this damn song, it's making me mad. Going into 2012, I knew I would...
Stop it!
I knew I would hate that team, but it would be a fun bad, like, with Bobby Valentine and still so many of those underachieving a-holes who I hated, like Beckett. Like, I was going to tune in to hate-watch them, and I did. Oh, they lived up to expectations. They got off to a 1-5 start. I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be fun this year. And it was. It was good to root against them because they had to flush all of that out. This, it's last year's team with a new manager and a new coat of paint on it that I know is disingenuous. So I still can't buy in. I hope I'm proven wrong, but J.D. Martinez, I want to know part of. Why were you the only team, along with Arizona, who really was in on this guy? He feels like kind of a hack. Other than that, you've made no changes. I don't really find this team relatable or likable at all. So I can't even get pumped up to, like, kind of hate-watch them this year, because they'll be good enough to probably win the division or get in or squeak into the playoffs, but they'll lose again. Not much has changed. I can't get into it. I can't get into the personalities on this team. There's a few guys I like Benintendi and Betts, but other than that, the rest of it, ugh.
The forced fun thing.
Oh, I hate it.
Forced fun. Team pitcher day, going to bring a bunch of wigs and fatheads.
No, look, you can chop up the garlic and onions. You can mix in some rosemary, thyme, some salt, some spices. But at the end of the day, it's still dog food, baby. Like that, you know, you cannot put the lipstick on the pig. If it's not real, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So look, it's nice that they want to give this idea that they're a bunch of good guys and they're going to have fun. Terrific. I want to see whether they're still doing this nonsense when they lose 7 in a row, if it gets to that. Because at some point, it's a long season. We all know at some point they're going to lose. And at some point, David Price is going to suck for like 3 or 4 starts in a row. And someone's going to ask him, is this it? Well, how do you fix it? Is your elbow bothering you? If it's late in the year, are you going to be ready for the postseason? If you make the postseason, all of that's going to start. And they are going to crack like they always do. So this is part of the issue. They need someone out front that can look at the rest of them and say, chill. And it can't come from management. It's got to be someone in the clubhouse. And
you
don't
think Cora's enough?
I don't. At the end of the day, I don't. I think the manager can give them a little of it, but I think there's got to be someone in the clubhouse that says, don't rely on the manager. Rely on yourself. Someone that can actually keep them in line. And when I mean that emotionally as much as anything else, because they feel like a soft team to me. They still feel soft. So again, maybe I'm wrong. I'll tell you right now, though, I've already said this. They will get off to a good start this year. You watch.
Why? How?
New manager, you know, and this whole positivity thing will have some legs at the beginning. And it'll work for a little while. And the other thing is, there isn't any real expectation on them relative to the Yankees and the Astros. Nobody's picking them to beat those two teams. So they can sneak in a little bit now. There's a little less pressure on them. A little bit. And so I think they'll play well at the beginning. And then people will start paying attention and start expecting things again, and they will crack. That's what I think.
I'd rather them be like last year in that, from a personality standpoint, be isolated and oversensitive, because I think that's who they truly are. Much of what happened last year, I think that's who they are, especially if they're going to make David Price one of their leaders, which he's asserted himself as. It's so disingenuous. It's so Tom Werner. I'm a television producer. Let's dress it up. Let's make everyone act happy, huh? Oh, I've done it before with Roseanne and the cast of Roseanne. You should see my IMDb credits. Like, this is what this is. They've gone down there, and while, okay, you have John Henry saying, like, we don't care about popularity. We just need to win. Okay, fine, great. I like hearing you say that. Werner, do you think he feels that way? Please. This is him behind all this crap. Let's get fatheads. Everyone take photos with fatheads. That's it. Oh, what a laugh riot this is. Oh, God.
Oh, this is a campaign. There's no two ways about it.
And you're right. You're going to see all this stuff, like, during the interstitials, during slow points of the games.
You wait. You wait. Just like you see Marcus Smart dribble between his legs when they do a little pack on Marcus Smart, you're going to see David Price with his fat head. Yeah, you are, because this is how they're going to try and brand the team.
You know, come to think of it, Murray, I have some IMDb credits, too, but they're not the same thing you're talking about.
All right. We have this and the Bruins on the table. We promise. Right back to your phones after this.
The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, we could have had more fun. I think we still enjoyed it, but we could have had more fun. I think through the rough times, I think those were the times when we could have had a little more fun instead of being down so much. So we had a rough patch this year. I feel like maybe we learned from last year, and we can continue to enjoy the game, and maybe we get out of it faster.
This team. Back to the phones. Mike in Danvers. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got on the Red Sox?
Hey, how you guys doing? Listen, I just don't understand why Dustin Pedroia is off limits when it comes to trading him off this team or moving him from this team.
No one wants him. Who's going to trade for Dustin Pedroia and give you anything, Mike?
You know, with the last 2 years, it's been a lot of trouble, too much controversy. I mean, why does he deserve to have a starting position? That's my question. Why does he deserve that?
I don't know if he deserves it, but if you're telling me if he's healthy, I'm starting Dustin Pedroia. I still hold out hope that he's part of the solution, not part of the problem.
He's fine as long as he's not the leader, which you can say about, I don't know, 80% of the guys in the big leagues, for crying out loud. It's once you put them in a role that they're not supposed to be in that you have a problem, and that's a problem with Pedroia.
How many years does he have left on his contract?
Oh, gosh, it's like 3 or 4.
And he's...
You can't move him. You're stuck with him.
Right. He's 30-something. He's broken down. He's coming off of this microfracture surgery, right?
Yes.
Something like this.
Yes,
like,
meniscus replacement and microfracture. It's a big injury.
That's it. He's yours. Yeah. The question is whether you play him or not.
This guy keeps calling about getting rid of Pedroia. He's a 10-5 guy on top of it, meaning you can't trade him without his approval. He has veto rights. You're stuck with him. You are stuck with Pedroia. He's not going anywhere.
Mike and Woburn on the Bruins. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Bruins are having fun.
They are having fun. Without fatheads, yep.
Without fatheads. Well, you know what? I will say the Bear in the Gang promotions that the Bruins used to do were some of the most fun things, little skits that they used to do. I don't know why they stopped it.
I know.
I don't know why they did Hopalong Charlie and Trigger need a new outfit for Dressage or one of the little pony shows? I don't know what went on there, but
friends don't let friends date in the division. When the Bear slapped the beer out of the kid's hand for dating the girl in the Canadiens jersey is one of the single greatest spots that a local team has put out anywhere ever.
It was awesome, and the signage that they used to put up outside the building. Like, you remember when they put up when they were playing Tampa in the playoffs, and they put up like Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, Tampa Bay fans, like they didn't exist.
Yes.
And like all 30 Tampa Bay fans went bananas down in Tampa. It was great. It was awesome. By the way, Bruins, like that was in Edmonton, Nesson. How could you not give us a one shot of Shirelli choking on his own vomit when his team pulled a hot Peyton in the third period? How do you not give us... That is the kind of fan service that every network needs to provide and needs to know its fans want. We want to see Captain No Trade Clause eating his own tongue while his team just dies in front of him, chokes up a two-goal lead, you know... Oh, my God, that was just so delicious, so wonderful. The Bruins coming full circle. While the SS Shirelli circles the drain in Edmonton. It was good eating last night on Nesson.
Can you imagine? They have that player, McDavid, who is, how dangerous is he every time he touches the puck?
Oh, he's the best player in the league.
The force. You have that guy. You had all those draft picks. You had all that cap room, because all you had was kids when you know, and they're back at the bottom of the league.
Lucic has 9 goals.
They're back at the bottom of the, they gave him
$6 million a year.
Six times seven, something like this?
Something like that.
Can you imagine?
He has 9 goals.
Peter Chiarelli.
He hasn't scored in 22 games.
Peter Chiarelli. And the guys that cover the team around here tell you that Chiarelli was done a disservice when they got rid of him. Because you can't lose this guy.
I mean, again, you know,
It's all Cam's fault.
The fact that you were in the predicament you were, and I mean that as much as the player development operation as anything else, was on Chiarelli. They had nothing. Remember that? They had nothing.
Now he's doing it to Edmonton. Here's Adam in Auburn. Go ahead, Adam.
He's the Dave Dombrowski of hockey, is what he is, really.
Go ahead, Adam.
So, Mike, you and the other Bruce bots, you don't want to break up the Bridgie Bees now? Is that what I heard? It's too good?
I didn't say that. I asked the question.
You don't want to trade Terry Rozier? I mean, Jake DeBrusque? You don't want to do it?
Very good. I like DeBrusque. I would trade Heinen, not DeBrusque.
Listen to me. You've become what you detest. It's amazing to me that you don't see the parallels between the two franchises and how you treat them and how you act, how Bruins fans are so tough on their team.
Adam, they're different sports.
Listen to me. Last time I made you didn't get it.
Listen to me. You can win a Stanley Cup with DeBrusque and Heinen, those kind of guys. You can't win an NBA championship with the Bridge
That's
team. You can't do it.
That's even more to my point, Mike. That's what I'm saying. That's even more to my point. Your barrier, you're the bar you set for the Bruins, by your own words, is you want to play Toronto in the first round and have a tough series in hockey.
When did I say that?
Last week when I called your show, you said you hope they play the Maple Leafs because you don't believe what they are right now, and you hope they have a tough first round.
I didn't say they need a tough first round. I want an easy first round. That's why I want Toronto.
Dude, you can pull the tape. I listen to you. And I'll tell you what, Jimmy Stewart last year, a million times you'd say, oh, the Celtics are a one seed, Jimmy. You know, well, what's a fair barometer? And he'd say, you know, I don't know if they could beat the Wizards, right? And you would call them out, oh, I wish I could be a Celtics player. We don't have to win anything. We could just be a one seed and lose in the first round. And you're the exact same way.
But you are, you're really like baby little Celtics fan.
I like this guy.
Oh,
poor little Celtics fan. They're different.
The worst.
Adam, they're different sports. They're different sports.
You should have a higher bar. You set the Eastern Conference Finals for the Celtics. And a much more trying sport to win a title. That was the barometer you set for them. You said
because the competition sucks. I wouldn't say that if that were the Western Conference.
Dude, what is it in the Eastern Conference? They're going to get steamrolled by the Capitals. And I better hear that song, Murray. The freight train's coming. You watch.
Okay, Adam. Fine. He's got a thing. He's got a basketball hockey thing going, which is fine.
I guess that would be Braden Holtby. Chugga, 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 chugga. Save.
In hockey, anything can happen.
The Bruce Potts. I like that.
In basketball, nothing happens. The favorites win. The teams that should win, win. The teams that have home court win. Okay? When you're home against the Bullets, you should win that series. That's just the way basketball works.
Murray, give me a chorus of Bruce Cassidy Can Do No Wrong.
Bruce Cassidy can do no wrong.
When you're home against the Leafs, that doesn't mean anything in hockey. But like that, I feel like I'm talking to a six-year-old.
The baby greens. That's what they are, the baby greens. Yeah, get yourself some baby greens. There you go.
They are a total Bridge team. There's no question about it.
Can't trade Heinen, can't trade DeBrusque.
No, you can trade Heinen. I don't want to trade DeBrusque. Here's Ryan in Southboro. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you got?
I don't want to trade Avery Bradley.
Go ahead, Ryan, on the Red Sox. Okay, he's not there. We've got Tony and Shirley on the Red Sox. Hi, Tony.
Can't trade Sully.
No.
Tony, go ahead, please.
Yeah, listen, first of all, I want to apologize to you, Mike, Maz, and Jimmy. When I said that time a couple months ago, I said I wouldn't call back because you bashed Reggie White. You didn't. I took it out of context, guys, and I'm sorry. I'm okay. Admit when I'm wrong.
No problem, Tony. Thank you.
So my question for all three is, now you guys say, you know, you come to Fenway, it's very hard to play there. You know, it's a really hard sports town to play. And I heard from, you know, people that I know in the sports industry, and I'm a high school dropout, guys, but they listen to your show. It's the best show from 6 to 6 in anywhere, I think. But anyways, If JD hits 30 home runs and 100 RBIs and bats 280 to 300, and vice versa with Manny, would you be happy?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I'd want 35.
Give him, you know, I'm just saying, give him the benefit of the doubt. You're putting pressure on him. He's going to listen to this show because it's the best show on the radio.
Hey, Tony, thank you again. If J.D. Martinez is 3,100, you're not satisfied?
No, I want 35 homers.
Come on.
35.
3,100.
He's got to be 35. They need a real power
Tony,
hitter.
What if he's got like 45 doubles?
Well, okay, look, we're going to start splitting hairs.
Yes.
But to me, obviously I'm speaking in general
terms.
Give
me over under OPS.
900.
I was going to say 950.
Got to be over 900.
Okay. 900.
Yes, he's got to be a force.
A 3,100 guy is almost always 900, isn't he?
Not always. I mean, not always. Mookie Betts was a 3,100 guy 2 years ago. Is that the kind of guy that changes your lineup? No. So, like, you know, now to me, again, you start getting a 35 and 120, now you're talking. Now you're talking. So, look, if it's 34 and 118.
This is so doomed for failure. Hugo, 3,100, you're going to rip him, and David Price is talking to him about his dog. Like, there's just no shot
not good
that
enough.
This is going to work.
3,100 is not good
enough. Well, can we see how it looks? Because, I mean, they could be trailing like 7-1, and he hits a three-run homer in the ninth. And, ooh, he's got 30.
This guy's got to change the lineup. He's got to change the lineup. That's what's going to make a difference. And when I say change the lineup, I'm talking about a guy that is Godzilla in there. That is a monster that other teams look at and go, oh, boy. Now what?
Yeah, someone you wait to take a leak because I'm not getting up. I want to see this guy hit like it used to be with Manny and Ortiz.
No question. I mean, to me, he's got to be that kind of guy. And look, I'll give you a little less than that. He doesn't have to be Manny or Ortiz. Those guys are Hall of Famers.
No, dig in, Maz. I like this.
But 30, you got to give me 35. Like, if he hits 29 and 98, there's your 3,100. Is that good enough?
No.
I'll take it because it's not a complete disaster. Like, I'm worried that he's a complete non-factor, that he's a basket case. That he gets out and hits two home runs in the first month, and now the media starts, and Price is chirping in his ear, like, I told you, bro, these people suck, and the next thing you know...
That should be everything you want.
He's on his way to 2075. I mean, as a talk show host, yes, but to succeed as the Red Sox, if he sniffs 3,100 in year one as a free agent coming to Boston, when they're 0 for their last 7 in free agent signings... Take it. Take it and run.
I want 35 and a buck 20. That's what I want.
And he's also got to impact the rest of the lineup. He's got to make Betts better and Bogarts better and the rest of these guys.
I mean, asking for too much.
Benintendi was 20 and 90 last year. Benintendi.
Neat.
Whoop-de-doo. Great. Keep
like
poking.
That double the left center.
Yeah, keep hitting me doubles into the gap. That's excellent. You keep doing that. I need someone to actually hit one onto the North Shore. That's what I want. Hit one to Swampscott. For crying out loud.
Yeah, by saying you'd be happy with 30 and 100, Mike, is saying you were happy a few years ago with Price at 17 and 9 at the end of the year.
No, he needs playoff wins. He's sort of different. Right? I mean, we all knew he could have a good regular season. Price needs playoff wins. I don't care what he is in the regular season. He needs playoff wins.
I want Godzilla. I want Sasquatch in the middle of the lineup.
This is doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. Set the bar low, Maz.
28 homer. Give me 28 and 85. I'll be happy.
He'll be the
please.
Sixth hitter by September.
Give me 30 and 100.
Sniff 30 and 100 and take it.
In this day and
take
age?
Take it.
They're playing with a freaking golf ball. I want 35 and $1.20. That's what I want.
Here's an update from Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sally's yet to be determined. One thing for sure. Enjoy the process, relax through it. It's very important. The more you enjoy it and the more relaxing is the environment, the better it's going to be for you. So that's going to be part of it.
They win the division and it's still going to be about fun. We didn't have fun last year. Oh, it's gotten beyond the point of annoyance. Like, I can't believe this is the talk. Let's just put a new coat of paint on it. It's basically the same team, new manager, but now it's about fun. Everyone have fun. Let's grab the slide whistles and whoopee cushions, everybody.
That's literally what they did yesterday for Team Pitcher Day. Happy days.
I said that as a goof last weekend. Yeah, you're right. Like, you look at the front of the Herald today. That's what they did.
You said that as a goof. Slide whistles and whoopee cushions.
Hey, Skip, have a seat. Oh, we got you.
That was hilarious.
Pull my finger.
Yeah. Oop, got your nose.
Oh, my God.
So you say that last week as a goof. Slide whistles and whoopee cushions. And then you pick up your Herald today, and it's happy days. They've brought out wigs and fat heads and bobbleheads as props for these guys to play with on pitcher day to prove to everyone what kind of fun they're having. It's unbelievable.
It's a campaign. I'm telling you, they're out to change the image of the team. Of course, the right way to do that would have been to trade some of them. But nonetheless, let's work with what we got. Let's give them some, you know, whistles, party hats, and horns, and pretend that it's, you know, New Year's Eve and have a grand old time. I just don't think you can change who these guys are. The one I'm worried about is Price. What's going to happen with that guy when he loses three in a row and gives up seven homers? Like, he's going to lose his mind again. Of course he's going to lose his mind.
No, we're having a group get-together. We're all going to the movies. We're going to still have fun because it's about fun.
Oh, please.
J.D. Martinez showed up today and asked him about his dog, Astro. Asked him... Because he cares about me as a human being.
So this ties into it. David Price, like it or not, he's a team spokesman, man. He's a team spokesman. You got him talking today, goofing around about hating the Yankees. J.D. Martinez considering come here. Price is the one that talks to him. Price talks about it. He's the one who's out front on USA Today talking about it. He's the one that's on ESPN talking about hating the Yankees. This is your team spokesman, David Price.
I mean, all joking aside, starting with Price, doesn't it feel like they just all had a winter session with a media consultant?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And an image consultant. That's what it feels like. In the case of Price, someone went to him and said, you're stuck here. You're going to be here five more years. You better make the most of it. So all of a sudden, he's playing nice with the media and joking about the Yankees. And, yeah, we hate the Yankees.
That's what you guys want to hear.
I mean, so he's playing along, life of the party, we're buddies again, everything's all grand and everything's great, you know, no problems, it's all good. The guys are going out and taking pictures and, you know, holding up little fingers behind each other's heads and giving them horns and putting on wigs and all of this. And look at the Red Sox and the happy new manager and, wow, they've changed, they're a whole new team. This is what they're trying to sell you. And look, if they can carry it through the year or if they can carry it for beyond a year, I might actually believe it. But I'm not believing it now. I'm not believe they're going to have to show that they can actually deal with it.
Who's got the bang snaps? I'll make you guys dance. Oh, that's hilarious.
But it is. This is all a campaign. That's all it is at the moment.
Okay, we've got Andrew in Burlington on J.D. Martinez. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, Felger, I love that Bruins commercial with the Canadian fan. I watch that every rainy day. It's so great.
It was a good one. It was.
It's great. First of all, I love the J.D. Martinez signing. Here's my thing. I think we're allowing the mistakes of Pablo Sandoval and Carl Crawford kind of cloud our judgment a little bit. Those two players were not the same player that J.D. Martinez is. I mean, Carl Crawford barely hit 18 home runs. And the only reason why Sandoval was signed was, as you would say, failure was to sell panda poop. You know, for me, this is the exact type of signing that this team needs to make. It's take a little risk. At worst, or even at best, this guy turns into like a poor man's Jose Bautista, where he wakes up, hits 35, 40 home runs. Hard work in the gym, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because sure. For me, pure hard work, baby.
Because for me, money is money. I mean, the way baseball is, you can always get rid of someone, pay the contract, and off they go. It really means nothing to these owners, as long as they're not giving up any prospects or anything else like
that.
Well,
let me say this, Henry. Let me just stop you there for a second. I do feel like this is a baseball move and not a marketing move. Because J.D. Martinez, I'm sorry, he's not a marketable player. Up until he started to be rumored last year, very few people ever heard of the guy unless you're a fantasy player. Right? I mean, like the casual baseball fan, I haven't heard of this guy. You still haven't heard of this guy. You know, you're learning who he is and his story. So I do not equate this with certainly Pablo Sandoval, who was a little bit of a cult hero and had that panda hook, or even Carl Crawford, who felt like a more known commodity to us, I mean, because he played here so often. And was he a Red Sox killer? Did he really do well against the Red Sox in those years?
Yeah, he kind of did.
He ran a lot, for sure. He ran at will against them. They couldn't stop him on the bases.
So, I mean, I don't know. I felt like those signings were marketing signings, Nesson signings. J.D. Martinez better not be, because no one ever heard of the guy, basically. So I think he's a baseball. I still think it's the wrong decision. I still don't like the signing. But I think it's because Dave Dombrowski legitimately feels this is what he is.
To me, it's not about the contract. It's about the player and what their needs are. And I just think they need a lineup altering talent. And if this guy turns out to be that, well, then they'll be right. I just don't, I'm not sure that he is. I just think his career has been too inconsistent for that. And because of that, the sex appeal factor, what sex appeal? What buzz was there?
That's
when
what
they
I'm
were, there was none when they were pursuing
so,
this but, guy.
So that heartens me a little bit that I don't think this was from the marketing side of the building.
So looking,
you can't market J.D. Martinez.
I mean, in that way, even John Henry's comment on the benches the other day was, we're not looking to be popular, we're looking to win.
Okay, then what's the Happy Days nonsense?
You got me.
What's this crap?
And I think that they are kind of trying to sell this guy, even though I agree 100%. The casual baseball fan doesn't know who the hell this guy is, but the word that precedes his name in everything that you read about him, especially from other beat guys that love the signing, is slugger. You needed a slugger this whole offseason. They need a slugger. What's the one thing they need in the lineup? Slugger, slugger, slugger. Slugger J.D. Martinez. Because they know, even if the people don't know the name, they'll look up the stats. Ooh, how many home runs last year? 45? Whee! We got a slugger! Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The guy's kind of... This isn't a guy that's like a household name. How many years has he actually done this? This is why. Like, I look at this and it feels forced. This is why I didn't want him. Just wait until the next offseason. I would be okay with a year that, yeah, you didn't really tweak the lineup at all. New manager, fine. Going into 2019, go get me Bryce Harper. Go get me Manny Machado. Instead, you get this guy.
It's not a horrible contract. I mean, it was...
That's why you can't crap on it all that much.
Yeah, which is why, you know, it tells you something, too. In this day and age, $110 million is not a horrible contract.
Long commercial-free segment. We got mostly Red Sox and Bruins on the board as well. But whatever you want with your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Puckbaum gets there first. Threw it over to the near side. Backus powers his way around to check back of the net. Now Heinen centered. Fired. They score! Dan Heinen back of the net. Von David Krejci in the slot. He goes shelf over the glove hand right under the bar. 3-2 Bruins.
I think we've got a will to win. We want to win. There's 82 of these, and some nights you just don't have it. I think our group is pretty good at pushing right to the end. And then we'll worry about the next game on the schedule. It would have been easy for us to say, hey, 3-4, back-to-back. You know, maybe it's not our night. But I thought with the frustration early on of not being able to finish, with Talbot being real good and us not getting a lot of breaks around the net, that they stuck with it.
Don't you dare. The previous caller, like, give me a Cassidy Bradbot thing. I'll fire his ass next week if that's what it takes. Like, I'm not you people. I'm not, you. Have you heard me say that Cassidy's been the key to the thing? And you can trade your superstars but keep Bruce Cassidy? Don't embarrass yourself, caller, and lump in with the Celtics fans who tell me that Brad Stevens is more important than Kyrie Irving. Those are the Celtics fans you're dealing with. I'll dump Cassidy yesterday over, you know, versus a star player. What are you, crazy? Not one of these Celtics people. He's just on a run. It'll cool off. I mean, believe me, he will cool off. But everything he's doing right now, that thing last night, he drops Cassidy down to the third line. He brings Nash up to the first. The third line scores the game tying goal. The first line scores the game go-ahead goal in the last 5 minutes of the game, and you win.
It is. We got to get him to the craps table. It's unbelievable what Cassidy's pulling right now. And that Krejci goal that was the game winner, what a play all the way around. Backus fights for the puck, lifts the guy's stick, steals it from him, picks his pocket in the corner, passes it to Heinen behind the net, who feeds Krejci in front, who picks a corner. Like, the whole thing, it was a great goal.
Backus is why I'd like another veteran on the team. Because I think...
That was a wrecky kind of play.
Backus made the whole play, and it's just... You know, when the going gets tough, you can sort of move Backus up, and there's no spot that's too big or too physical or too grindy for him, and I think... You know, between Spooner, DeBrusk, Heinen, Pastrnak, you know, there's just too many kids that, I mean, I like them, but not all of them are going to be able to stand up. So give me another guy with a little sturdier, a little more experienced to play with Krejci, just another guy to mix up there and move up in case things aren't working. And I think Backus is a good case study for that.
I mean, Sweeney's getting some return on Backus now. Because that's a leadership kind of play. That's about savvy. That's about strength. That's about power. All of it in a key spot. Again, he picked that guy clean, lifted his stick, stole the puck, and gave it to Heinen. That was it reminded me of Recchi. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay, I promise to your calls. Here's Mike and Peabody on the Bruins. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Felger, I'd like to disagree with you about who should get the credit for the Bruins' success.
Go ahead.
When the team was losing, you blame the goalie. You said he was overpaid. But now they're winning, you want to give the team credit.
Well, no, that's not exactly true. I don't think Rask was playing well earlier in the year, but he wasn't the problem on the team. Who said that?
That's true, but I think all the young guys really stepped up. Except for Tuukka's got to be the difference. He's the only one, Felger, in the top 10 in league categories. He's third in goals against. He's seventh in wins, and he's ninth in save percentage.
Yeah, and you know who's right there with him, except for the win total, the gross number?
Is the backup goalie, right?
It's Hudobin.
He's only 22 games.
Yeah, Hudobin's save percentage is exactly the same. His win percentage is higher, and his goals against is just a little bit higher. So this is what proves to me that it hasn't been the goalie leading the way. They've been good. They've both been good. I'm not telling you they suck. I'm just telling you it's not a goaltender thing. because the team's the same with the other guy as they are with Rask. It's the same, if not a little better under Hudobin. They've won at a higher rate in front of Hudobin. So it's to me, I take this as good news. It's not just like a singular player at the most important position carrying you. It's the whole team.
No, the balance they have really is it's amazing when you look at it. They're getting, you know, production from all four lines. The top line's been dynamite, but they're way better in front of their own net than they were at the beginning of the year or even parts of last year. They're so much better in that area, it's not even funny.
Bob and Dedham on the Red Sox. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah. I was just wondering what you and Tony think about when the Red Sox, after they win every game, they do that celebration dance.
Yes,
on the field.
Shrinkage, Bob. I suffer. I experience shrinkage every time I see it.
I know. Me too. I hope that Cora puts an end to it.
I physically, actually, I testosterone drains out of my body when I see it. I become less of a man, and I don't have much to begin with to in the manhood department to start with. Jimmy won't let me describe to you physically what happens to me.
You start to grow man boobs.
Basically, shrinkage, my estrogen increases. Just watching it, my estrogen increases. And Murray, it's not just the fact that they dance. It's the nature of the dance. It's so effeminate. It's there's just something. It's like that little.
Well, it's very Michael Jackson. It's what you.
Benintendi does this little bunny hop. He's like.
Yeah.
Like he sticks his ass out there and like. It's shrinkage. I suffer.
It's as if he's presenting. You know, sometimes when a dog will do that. Or
I'd be okay if they kept dancing, but just did a different dance. Like, do a more manly dance. Do like a, I don't know, half of these football dances. Do something like that. But the way they the actual dance moves themselves.
Everybody
shrinkage.
Have fun tonight.
Shrinkage.
I like it better when Murray does the Michael Jackson pum pum pum
Jackson routine.
And one of the guys gets on his knees and films him like he's doing a whole, like, oh my God, guys, stop doing that. Please stop doing it. Just stop doing it.
And it's not going to stop because there's more fun to be had, Mike. Much more fun. There's going to be new routines.
Oh, God.
Now maybe some of the infield will come out there and be more of the camera crew.
Like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to. How about I run out too, fellas? I'm going to position myself. Oh, yeah. Oh. Cut. Nope. Do it again.
It's gonna be.
This is thriller. Keith in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Keith. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you guys. You know, well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. It's the first time I called the radio station. I listen to the station every day, all day, and it just drives me crazy. You guys do anything but badger the Red Sox, my beloved Red Sox. I'm a Yankee hater, so I really hope they flop. Well, my career calling is
Keith.
Yeah, you guys.
Keith,
I know where this is.
If
going.
This is your first time calling the station, I have to tell you, are you talking to me on like one of those little cord things that hang down?
No.
Are you talking to me like on a Bluetooth? Are you speaking into your phone?
I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, you're like on a Bluetooth thing. I can tell.
No, I'm not on a Bluetooth.
Okay, speak into the phone.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go.
Okay, first of all, I'm a Yankee hater for life. I hate the Yankees. I hope they flop. Second of all you guys do is pick on the Red Sox. And, you know, talking about, oh, they did that, oh, they did that. How do you know?
Your phone blows! And I don't believe you that you're not talking to me on a Bluetooth thingy.
We don't pick on the Red Sox.
We do. It's fun. That's part of the experience.
No. We pick on everybody.
We do pick on everyone.
It's not a Red Sox thing.
But it is a Red Sox thing.
A little bit.
Yeah, you got to admit.
Yeah, but we pick on everybody. We pick on Celtics fans, Bruins fans, Patriots fans.
The Red Sox are at their best when it's a love-hate.
Oh, no, the Red Sox are at their best when it's a hate-hate.
More than the other teams, there's got to be a little...
Edge!
There's got to be a little bitch factor to the Red Sox. I miss the Fellowship of the Miserable, and it was never at its best. The Red Sox were always the best. They were the leader in the clubhouse when it came to the Fellowship of the Miserable. So don't... Yes, we pick on the Red Sox. We do.
Yes, Red Sox fans, you know how I feel about this. They got neutered, is what happened. They won a little and they got neutered.
So we are singularly committed to bringing back the Fellowship of the Miserable. Our latest beef? Guess who's emerged as the team spokesman? The face of the Red Sox.
Pricey.
Team spokesman, face of the Red Sox, David Price. We pick it up with that right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.